Well, I wanted to read this one prophecy one more time that came forth from the conference. And it just says, the enemy has come, and he scatters the unlearned, the untaught. He scatters them with the most childish things. My children are so concerned over things that are almost childish in my sight. What I desire is that you remain at the feet of my teacher. We know who that is, right? The Holy Spirit. That's taking time to pray in the Holy Spirit, stay at his feet. He said, I will purge you. I will purge you. Trust me that I know what I'm doing. Hallelujah. He knows what he's doing. Amen. Trust me that even you can change. Pride is thinking your strongholds are stronger than my spirit. Pride is thinking you are the worst of all, which really is saying your sin is more powerful than the blood of my son. Bow, yield to the teacher, for I'm taking you far higher than you have walked before. Glory to God. This is the season of selling out. Flesh things this year are going upon the altar that my fire shall consume quicker than ever dreamed possible. Glory to God. This is that year. The following year is the year of power, says the Lord. Hallelujah. So we know that God is drawing us, and he's been talking to us about selling out and moving forward with him. And remaining at the feet of the teacher. How many know sometimes, anybody ever been to school? You know, maybe when you went to school and you kept going, you had to go every day, right? Couldn't miss any days, right? Unless something, you know, you got sick or, you know, you had an excuse, right? A reason. So we want to be faithful to sit at the feet of our teacher, amen? Anybody ever get tired of going to school? It wasn't so easy on the flesh. Sometimes you didn't want to do your homework, right? Hallelujah, if you were like me. And then like me, I had to go out and see my father had his own business. So when I came home from school, I had to go to work. And then, you know, at least until dark and sometimes a little after. And then I have to go home and do my homework and then go back to school. So we want to remain faithful to the teacher, amen? Let him be our teacher. Because I can share things with you and we can all point to the direction of following him. But until we take time to be with that teacher and take the word of God and make it our own. You see, if something, you know, sometimes we hear things and I've done it, you know, haven't been as appreciative as I should maybe, you know, the word of God. You know, we hear something, oh, I heard that before. You know, oh, he's on that tongues thing again. But you see, if something's old to us, then it's not really real to us. But when we allow him, we embrace it and we're doing it, it becomes alive in us. And that word is full of life. The word of God is life. It draws us to him. It helps us to see him. Amen? And that's why we were basing everything upon the word of God. See, you said, well, why do you say that? Because I think it's real. I know it's important because some time ago, it was several years ago now, and I was praying quite a bit. I'd started praying here at the prayer center and was praying quite a few hours and began that life of prayer and praying and praying and praying. We need to keep praying. But I had a dream one night. And within my dream, the Lord, you know, just came to me and he said, it takes prayer and the word. And it was very much emphasis. He said, it takes prayer and the word. And I woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning, which is not normal for me when I've been sleeping. I don't wake up. I just sleep. Amen. Praise the Lord. Unless the Lord wakes me up. You know, now he has woke me up before and talked to me about some things. Some were good and some were not so good. Hallelujah. And how many know that's wonderful? Because He loves us. He's looking for my best interest. And I'm thankful. How many of you don't want to walk down? How many want to walk down the wrong road? No way, right? We're seeking Him. And when we do, He'll correct us. He'll keep us in line. And He'll give us His Word. You know, He'll usually bring His Word to us. Say, here's what I said. Or such as this, you know, the present day speaking, you know, something that He's saying right now. Stay at the feet. You know, none of these words are going against what the Bible said. Jesus said, come to me, all you that labor, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come, learn of me. My yoke's easy, my burden is light. Amen. Well, Sunday morning we were talking a little bit about submitting our lives to the Lord and how... Well, let me read this verse and then I'm just going to kind of recap on that. I want to take it just a little bit further tonight and share some things that I think I've mentioned in some of there, and I want to see them in the Scripture. Because sometimes I have a tendency, oh, maybe refer to some Scriptures, but we don't always take time to read them all. But anyway, James chapter 4, let's start with the 6th verse. It says, but He gives more grace, therefore, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace, He giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, or nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. He's going to draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. It says, be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. So right here, we mentioned last week that as we humble ourselves before the Lord, that He brings more grace to the humble. How many think it's good to be humble? Amen. You want the grace of God in your life? You know, really, just being born again, we have to humble ourselves. We have to realize, I'm in need of a Savior. I have sinned, Lord. It's me. You know, and sometimes we have to admit, you know, if we do make a mistake, Lord, I did it. Because that's the humility of God, right? I mean, if you did something, you don't want to deny it. See, on the earth, sometimes people do things, they want to try to hide it. Well, why? Well, if they find that out, then they're not going to think good of me. You know, we want to save our reputation. Or, you know, we see people in high positions, you know. Well, if they find out I did that, then they won't re-elect me. They're concerned about their job or their position in life and what kind of money they're going to lose because somebody found out about that. And it's going to affect my life. And my standard of living, of course, mostly, you know, it's going to affect me and how they see me, and I won't look good. So they try to hide it, but the Bible says sin will find you out, right? Eventually, it usually does. We found out, you know, and people find out anyway. But if you humble yourself, the Bible says He'll give more grace. Lord, yes, it was me. I missed it. But Your blood's enough. I humble myself, Father. I repent. And I draw near to You. And You said You'll draw near to me. Because drawing near is going to help us. He says, cleanse your hands. How, you sinners? By coming to Him. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. How? Coming, drawing near to Him. He says, we draw near to Him, praying in the Spirit, worshiping God, spending time in His Word, meditating that Word, letting that Word draw us in. How are you going to change without knowing Him? Or getting something different than what you've been thinking on? See, we're doing the wrong things. A lot of times people do the wrong things because of what they think about. You know, I mean, that's what James said over in the first chapter, isn't it? You know, he says, you know, that's how sin comes. Verse 14, James 1, let's see. Let's just start 12. James 1, 12 says, blessed is the man that endures temptation. When he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love Him. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God can't be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. So he's saying here, temptation, he's not tempted of God, but the enemy comes and our own thoughts come, you know, in this world. And mainly, how many knows most people don't just accidentally fall into sin. It's something you were thinking about. What we get our mind on is usually what we end up doing. When we get our mind with His Word, we get it on Him and what He desires, and we start doing that, then things begin to change. Amen? Hallelujah. So we were talking a little bit about submitting our will to the will of the Father. To give in is all it is. Just give in. Father, Your will be done, not mine. I'm giving it over to You, Father. I submit what I want to Your plan, to Your purpose, Father. He said, well, I don't know exactly what God wants for me. Well, that's why He gave you a teacher, the Holy Spirit, to help you. When you begin to pray in other tongues, you're giving Him permission to bring forth His plan that He established before the foundation of the world to come to pass in your life. That purpose and that plan will happen if you'll not stop praying in tongues. Because God designed it to where you have to give Him that permission. He doesn't just automatically bring His will to pass in your life. A lot of people believe that. Whatever happens, it must be God's will. You know, or this door opened, or that door opened, or because this great opportunity came, it was God's plan or purpose, but that's not necessarily so. Hallelujah. Because then now you're giving your life basically to the wind. You know, well, whatever happens must be His plan, you know. Or whatever I think is good, you know. This desire. I've got this particular education show. He must want me to do this, you know. When He didn't want you to do that in the first place. Hallelujah. But His plan is greater. The Bible says His thoughts and His ways are higher than our ways. And His plans are higher than ours. A man plans his way, but God begins to direct his steps. And when we yield to the Holy Spirit and spend time praying in tongues on a consistent basis, I'm not talking about one time getting filled. We mentioned that. Many people get filled one time. They got filled with the Holy Spirit somewhere back here, but they're not full of Him now. Amen. But we can stay filled by praying in other tongues, speaking to ourselves, in those songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in our heart to the Lord, allowing Him to have first place. So everything we want, we mentioned this last time I ministered, is not always God's will. Amen. I'm not saying He won't give you some things that you want. He will. You know, as you walk with Him, there's some things that you may desire, you know. You might say you can have that. I had a good friend of mine, and he loved to golf. He would go out to golf. And I mean to the point where he would go out and practice golf till his hands would almost bleed. They would be raw. And he just loved golf so much. And he got real good at it. He was real good. I mean, down into the, I guess they say it's a good number. If you get in the 60s, I guess that's good. You know, that's real good. So he was good. But the Lord began to speak to him. He said, I want you to get rid of your golf clubs. I'm thinking, I wonder why. Maybe He wants you to spend some time with Him. Amen. But it's just interesting how, you know, everything that we want isn't His plan necessarily, is it? That wouldn't be a bad thing. Wouldn't it be great You know, you could say, well, I'm so good at golf. God's given me this gift. I can go out and be a professional, and I'll give all my money to the gospel. That's what I'll do. I know God's plan. I see it. It's clear. That wasn't God's plan for him at all. God won't even pastor church. And sometimes our flesh said, well, I know, but that brings more money. Can I do both? You know? And sometimes maybe God does that, you know, for a time, and people do that and support themselves. I don't know if it's God or not, but he has a plan for each of us. And he has a way to bring you into that place with him. Amen? When we draw nigh to him, he'll draw near to us. He's going to help us to cleanse our hands and to purify our hearts. As we talked about here, he says, I can purge you. He said, I know. I'm able. I know what I'm doing. Anybody ever thought, God, do you know what you're doing? You know, that thought ever crossed your mind? It's crossed my mind. I'm just being honest, you know. I've been praying here for a long time, Lord. I've been seeking you. And I want to know what's going on. You know? How many know we're speaking those divine mysteries? And if we'll not quit, and if we'll keep entering in, he will answer them. They come back in the form of understandings, understanding of the Word of God, understanding of where he's placed you in the body of Christ, what your place is, more and more. It'll just get stronger and stronger and stronger. Hallelujah. I mean, it was pretty easy for me to see I wasn't called to the worship, you know. I'm not on the worship team. You know, I sing with the congregation, try to blend in, you know, but I don't stand up and sing because that wasn't God's place. You know, some people get those, have those gifts, and I praise God for them. Thank you very much, those of you that do that with us. We appreciate you and help us enter in. But God's got that place for each and every one of us. And, you know, I remember, I think it was Oral Roberts that said he wanted to be the governor of Oklahoma. That was his great goal, you know, until he gave his heart to God, began to seek him, and found out he's called to preach. How many think that's a little higher call? Amen. God's call is the highest call, whatever it is on your life. If you're called to be the governor of Oklahoma, we want that for you. Amen. That could be your call. Could be the place he's put you. He wants to put you in. To bring some things, you know. He does set people in offices. And I believe that with all my heart. But we have to submit ourselves to him, number one. And we talked about in Ephesians chapter 5 where he said we're submitting ourselves one to another. Okay? It's not a ruling over, but each time, you know, I mentioned that before, that sometimes there's a time where sometimes you're the one in authority. If you're the, you know, there's times when you're the one in authority, and then there's times when you're under the authority. Amen? Glory to God. When you go to work, you don't go to your boss and say, well, I'm taking charge today. Everybody gets a raise, you know. That's what we would do, right? Most of you. Said, amen, you know. No, we don't. We say, okay. We find out what we're supposed to do that day, right? It's the same thing with our master. We find out what we're going to do today. He's in charge. And then we submit one to another, wherever God has that anointing, you know. Verse 21, Ephesians 5, 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know, in reverence and honor to God. If God's on somebody else, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be the one ministering. I mean, you know, if the anointing comes on this sister here, why would I want to pray for that person? If that anointing is right on her, and she's got the anointing to minister to somebody, then I don't have business putting my nose in. That's God's ministry through her to that person. And we need to submit to that, but we also need to submit to what God has for us. And I mentioned that before. It might be your neighbor, or the person sitting next to you, or somebody that you see come in the church. You know, several times. There's two or three or four times that I didn't say anything. I didn't ask anybody. I just did what God said. He said, go sit next to that person. Find out who they are. You know, you don't know what's going on. I've helped people get out of some situations. Hallelujah. You know, they shouldn't be in. Well, what were they? That's none of your business. You know, because we got to submit to Him. He's got people that you're going to minister to, those that He's given you. Hallelujah. Amen. Mike was telling me about some people. He ran into a guy that he'd been praying for years. And he was, you know, he took a second shift on his job and he just happened to run into him. He came into the store he was working at and he reconnected with somebody that he'd been praying for years. I thought, wow, you know, God is going to orchestrate and get our steps right. Amen. When we trust Him, when we draw near to Him, we're faithful to continue to press in to the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Ghost as our teacher. Glory to God. He said, that's my desire. God said, that's my desire, that you remain at the feet of my teacher. No matter what we do, whatever He has us do, we want to continue to remain at the feet of the teacher, the Holy Spirit Himself, who is the guide, the comforter, the helper. Amen. All right. So if God, we mentioned that if God's not talking to you about something, just hang on, wait, be patient. Sometimes we get in a hurry. Anybody ever got in a hurry and miss God? You know, mostly it's not when we're going real slow and we're seeking God and really being patient, saying, Lord, give me an answer. Usually it's when we say, well, we pray about it. Well, Lord, we know you want me to do this. You know, basically it's what we're saying. We don't say those words, but, you know, hallelujah. But it sounds, seems good to us, you know. We thought, well, this is a great idea. I can make a lot of money, you know, or whatever. I don't know why I'm saying that, but those are things that seem to entice the flesh. Amen. When it's, I think Pastor Dave says, when it's easy, the flesh wants in, right? When something's real easy. Have you ever had that? You know, well, if you just work a couple hours a day, you know, through the week, you can make millions. I mean, we'll make you a millionaire. Or at least, you know, I'd say 6 months tops, you'd be in 100,000s, you know. That's usually something they say, right? Or you can get your dream house or your dream boat. You know, what are they doing? They're using the lust of the flesh to try to entice you to follow after something and to get it. Oh, I'm getting it myself. Oh, you weren't in that, Lord. See, we need to ask and inquire of Him and follow that plan. I don't know why I got off on that, but it was good anyway. Praise the Lord. Let's move on. Anyway, we were talking last time about submitting, to yield to God, rebel, to resist against Him. The flesh primarily can be, a lot of times, it's selfish or full of pride. You know, we get our own, we want our own way, our own thing. But divine love is unselfish, and that's the nature of our spirit. And when we pray in the Holy Ghost, then that divine love continues to grow and mature on the inside of us, and our selfishness begins to fade, and our spirit life begins to come alive, and that's what begins to dominate us. And when that dominates us, then it's not such a lure so more, you know, so much. I remember one time in my life, I thought, well, I'd like to have a boat someday. You know, my friends had a boat and they enjoyed it. But I decided I didn't want a boat. Because I thought, well, you know, as much as I would use a boat, it would be better for me to save my money and rent a boat. And use a boat that way. Well, wouldn't that be more expensive? Well, no, not for me. Because I don't use a boat that much. See, if I bought a boat, then I would feel obligated to use the boat. When am I going to use the boat? Let's see. Probably on Saturday and Sunday. That's when I'm supposed to be at church praying on Saturday, right? And at church on Sunday. Now, at this church, you know. I think I heard one guy said one time, I feel sorry for the people that go to this church, you know. They got to seek God and they got to really pray. And I said, oh, don't feel sorry for us. Don't feel sorry for us. Hallelujah, because we're getting to know the Master. How many know there's nothing more fulfilling than finding Him and knowing Him and just sometimes just being with Him, you know? And He's with you. We walk with Him in everything we do just to know Him. Hallelujah. Spend time at the feet of the teacher. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The things He teaches, they're not our ways. I mean, I'm telling you, if the world was going to be saved through man's ways, it had already been done. I mean, I've heard a lot of different ways, and a lot of people have tried and are still trying, and I'm not condemning anyone that's sharing Jesus with people. We need to be faithful to that. But let's find His way for our life. What is His plan for you? Hallelujah. What is His plan for you? Well, right now it's to continue to stay at the feet till we hear clearly, right? Till we know fully. Till His Word becomes so alive on the inside of us. And what He desires becomes so strong in us, we can't help but do it. Hallelujah. Say, well, I know He told me way back here that this is what I'm called to do. I know. Sometimes He gives us a glimpse. But sometimes we have to remember to stick around and find out exactly how, Lord, where, Lord, when, Lord, who, Lord, specifically. Where am I, Lord, in that process? What is my place right now? You know, we want to look to the future, but what am I doing now, Lord? What do You have for me today? Well, today I want You to take groceries over to your friend's house. They're in need. That sounds glamorous, doesn't it? Then, well, Lord, that would mean I have to get some gas money. I got to believe for that. I've got to go to the grocery store. And then I'd have to use my money to buy some groceries. Or I'd have to go pick them up and take them. And then that's going to take time away from my football game that I want to watch. Or, you know, or Dances with Stars or whatever your favorite show is, you know. If I didn't get on your show, it's okay. Hallelujah. You know, and so I'd have to take a little time from that. And, you know, I know I'll be there for a while because they like to talk a lot. Well, maybe they needed somebody just to listen. God chose you. You know, sometimes people's biggest thing is they want to be heard. And you might be missing out on one of the biggest blessings of your life. They may say something to you that God speaks to you so clearly. Say, wow. You said, with them? But they don't hardly even know God. I know. But I picked up people that I didn't think knew God very well either. And, you know, said things into my life that changed me. Gave me a different perspective. I said, oh, I hadn't thought about it that way. Wait a minute, Lord. God's trying to speak to me. See, when we honor God, then we honor people more too. See, sometimes we want to honor the person that's in charge, but we forget about the man that is down low because they can't do anything for us, you know. You know, we'll keep our word to the boss because he's paying our check, but you know, when you promise to pick up so-and-so for church and it took them 5 minutes extra to get ready and you didn't have time to wait. Or you just forgot. Oh, it slipped my mind. Well, why? Well, they wouldn't give me a paycheck. That's why. Whoever it is. or whatever it is. I don't know. Hallelujah. See, submitting to God is much more than just, it is prayer. It's seeking Him. But it's just listening and simply obeying in the little things of life that we don't a lot of times esteem very highly because we're not seen by man and we don't think God is looking. But He said, I don't forget your labor of love. See, God rewards those things. And everybody says, well, they're not important. But see, it's important to Him. What's important is that we're faithful to Him all the time. It says, not just when a person's eye or your boss's eye is on you. Amen. When the master's eye is on you. Let's go over there. I've talked about this a couple of times. I don't think I've ever read that scripture. It's over in 1 Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter a minute. Hallelujah. But He sees those things. And I was just thinking about that and just sensing that His pleasure. The things that He holds dear. You know, are not always the things that we think are all important, you know. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's start with 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by Him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for the cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. Verse 17 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now here we go. Servants, be subject to your masters or to your boss or to whoever you're under with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. That means when they're mean and they're harsh, okay? They're not acting exactly right. Wrote that word. I think I looked it up here. Let's see where I put that. Froward. Thank you, Lord. Oh, wait. It's back one. There it is. Okay. Froward. Not easily managed. Contrary. Somebody that's perverse, obstinate, unfavorable. Anybody ever work for anybody like that? But it says here, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. When they're contrary, when they're obstinate, when they're not favorable to you. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. So he's saying here, just, you know, we're to submit also to those that are over us. And sometimes people say, well, I don't have to submit to a person. Well, if you work for them, you do. Or if God's put them in charge, you do. See, God has authority. And He chooses. He chose Moses. And he also chose David. How many remember David in the Bible, right? He's the one that killed Goliath. But how many know he was also anointed king, wasn't he? How many know what happened to David? He just got anointed king. He said, I'm the king now, move over, Saul, didn't he? No, he didn't, did he? David humbly realized the anointing of God was on him. The call of God was on him to become king. But the Bible says he still honored Saul's position, even though he became at times demonically oppressed and possessed and wanted to kill him. He still honored King Saul in his position. You know, they came and told him Absalom's, you know, the king's son Absalom was killed. He was not happy. One of his enemies, he was not happy. Sometimes we think, well, if our enemy, you know, if that person, you know, wasn't in my life, it would be better for me. They just keep oppressing me. David didn't get happy about it. He wasn't too happy. See, they were coming after him. He's hiding out in the cave. Hey, David, we got Saul. Whoosh. Looky here, we got his skirt. David could have went in there and killed him. Took it off and took the throne. But David said, no. I'm going to honor the king in that position. He wasn't honoring everything that Saul was doing. He didn't say, oh, Saul's a great man. You know, he's doing everything right. He knew he wasn't. But he honored that place anyway, that position that he had been given. Because God had set him there, and God was kind of sorry he put Saul as king. The Bible says he said he repented that he made Saul king. And Saul was on his way out, but David didn't just take over. He allowed God. He humbled himself before the Lord. He even ministered unto Saul. Remember, what would he do? He'd go and play. And the Bible says the evil spirits would leave Saul, and he'd be all right for a while. He'd be all right for a while, and then he'd get all stirred up again. Come after him, he's going to kill him. You know, David's best friends with his son, Jonathan. You know, he's best friends with him. They're buddies, you know. Thank God. You know, warned him a few times. Hey, he pops after you. You better run. You know, he's getting stirred up again. You know, and David would, you know, hide and run. And we find all the sorrow that he had written in the Bible, don't we? No, we find his joy was in the Lord. He said, Lord, they're after me, but I trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. My trust is in Him. You know, some people trust in chariots and horses, but my trust is in the Lord, David said. You know, we'd say some people trust in, you know, things of this world, you know, houses and riches, but I trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. But honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters. With all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward, the perverse. Well, our boss just tells me, oh, he just doesn't care about. Well, if you'll start praying for him, things might change. He might not change right away, but guess what? Your attitude and your heart and the endurance that God's placed on the inside of you comes forward. The endurance to walk in the love of the Father. The endurance to do the right thing in the midst of what may be wrong. The endurance to carry out your job with excellence and to do it excellently and knowing I'm doing excellently, even if my boss tells me I didn't do a good job. And you know you did. That should be enough for you. Maybe he placed you there to reach him or to reach someone else. So, well, I don't think he put me. Yeah, I think he might have. You see, the person sometimes that is contrary to us. I remember what Pastor Barbara, she said, well, that's just a grace grower in your life. That person's helping to grow that grace. Well, what grace? The grace of God to walk with him in the midst of an unfavorable situation that may look bad for you. But if you remain faithful. See, the Bible says, I think it's in Ecclesiastes where he says, if a ruler's anger rises up against you, don't leave your place. That's where God puts you. That's where you stay. So, well, how, you don't know anything about that, brother. Yes, I do. God sent me to a job where it wasn't exactly favorable for me all the time. At least in my eyes, see. Sometimes it's not always the person, but sometimes it's the way we're seeing it. See, the enemy works on both sides. He can work both ways. You know, I took this job. You said, well, why did you take that job? Because I was seeking God. I said, Lord, I've got to have something. You know, I'd like to get a different job. I want to make zama dollars an hour. And I'm praying about it. And I'm young. I said, well, what do you have experience in? And I thought, well, my father was a nurseryman, and I've done things in the, you know, nursery work or maintenance, landscaping, you know, or cutting yards and so forth. Well, you know, and I wanted a certain amount of money, and the Lord asked me, he said, well, will you settle for this? It was a little bit less, and I said, well, I guess so. I need to get a job, you know. I just had that impression. I'm not saying I heard a voice, but I had that inner witness to go to this particular place where I knew about that they had hired some people to work in this lady's estate before, and so I went there and got a job. And they weren't quite paying me. I said, man, that's not quite what I felt like I thought the Lord was saying, you know. But the guy said this to me. He said, well, if you do a good job, you can work here for the summer. At the end of the summer, we'll give you a bonus. I said, that's it. I know I'll make at least that much an hour then. Because I know I'm a good worker. I'm going to get that bonus, you know. Sometimes we've got to take a step of faith. Amen. It's not knowing everything, but it's knowing what we need for now. So I took that step of faith and worked there and was hired on full time and got a raise and all those things. God really blessed me in that job, muchly. I mean, I finally had favor with, not with my boss per se, the guy that was directly over me, but with the head boss, the owner of the place. And they asked me to live there for a while. My wife and I rent free in an estate. Well, we lived in the servants' quarters, you know, but that was they were quite nice. you know, 10-foot ceilings, and we didn't have a lot of space. We had two bathrooms, and then I got used to the garage, you know, and they let me drive the truck to church every, you know, wherever I needed to go. She said, oh, you just use the truck. Don't worry about it. After hours, you know, I can just use it wherever I want to go. So we didn't need a second vehicle. You know, we had that you know, their gas, you know. So God had blessed me there, and things weren't always perfect. And my boss, I mentioned this before, he was a little bit contrary, as we were talking about. So, I sometimes it would, you know, it just bothers you. You know, you're like, man, what am I doing wrong? You know, he never thinks I'm doing a good job. Never. Till I realized, am I working unto the Lord or am I working unto him? See. There's a verse, I think it's in Colossians here. Colossians 3:17. Well, 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatever we do, we're doing unto him. So I said, well, I've got to, you know, keep this job, you know, but I was given he would have me take care of the acreage, which was 14 acres, pretty much by myself, which I didn't mind because a lot of it had to be mowed three times a week. And so it'd be about 5 hours on the tractor, you know, and so you can pray in the Holy Ghost and drive that tractor, amen. And sometimes I'd get a little passage of scripture, I'd just take it out of the Bible, you know, and tape it up there on the by me there and meditate on that for a while and just pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Keep praying, you know. God, when? Oh, God. What do you want? Oh, God. Hallelujah. But that was wonderful. And, you know, God really blessed that, but everything wasn't perfect. Like I said, you know, he'd get upset and he said, now, why didn't you do this? We'd take the golf cart out. Well, why didn't you do that? Why didn't you get this? See, this tree over here needs this limb down. That needs this. I said, well, I'm working on it, you know. Because what would happen a lot of times is I'd be out working on the acreage and he'd call me in to help around the house. Where he was working, the 5 acres that was more manicured around the house, him and the other guy, you know. And then he'd have me come up to help them. You know, 4 or 5 hours, half a day here and half a day there. And so it kind of cuts into your time on what I can get done, right? I can only do so much in one day. But that was a great learning experience for me. And sometimes there was people that said, well, you don't have to put up with that. You don't have to put up with his attitude. You don't have to put up with those. I said, yes, I do. I mean, the thought might cross me to go somewhere else, but the Lord would intervene because I kept praying and seeking him. See, when we seek him, he'll rise up. No, don't do that. I sent you here. Well, did you ever get upset with him? A few times. Not too often, really. Not too often. But there was one time in particular, he got upset with me, really. Because, we're trying to do this big, heavy thing and set this statue up. It wasn't even real pretty to me, but 600-pound statue that the owner ordered. And we're going to put it up in the garden, you know, and set it up out front. And we're trying to move it, and he's on the tractor. And we're telling him, you know, and basically what happened is he got it wrong and almost dropped it on us. And he's, you're fired. I said, okay. You know, so I kept working. I just kept working. But, you know, there's a couple of times. One time I did get upset with him and I was going to leave. And I got ready to walk off and the Lord said, where are you going? You know, he didn't have to say anything else. I knew what he was saying. Where are you going? Well, I was going to go home, you know. back to work. You know, that's where I was going, right back to work, Lord. You know, how many ever had those thoughts, huh? Amen. The enemy comes. Your flesh is still there. But if you keep praying, you overcome those things. And we are able to stay faithful, even if someone becomes froward against us. Even if they're obstinate or if they are unfavorable to you or if they're perverse towards you. Contrary to what you desire. You know, I had another guy that worked there and he got upset because I was supposed to take care of the watering this one Sunday and I didn't have a problem with that. I said, that's fine. I'll set the sprinkler system, you know, and I went to church and came back around 1 o'clock. You know, after service, 1:30. And he's there. He's all upset. You weren't here. This grass could have burned up. I said, yeah, it could have, but it hasn't, you know. I set the, you know, sprinkler system. And I said, you know, it's all, well, blah, 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 blah. I said, and I told him, I just said, you know what? I said, if you want to go to hell, you can, but I'm not. I said, I'm going to church. And that's the way it is. I'm here now, and it's being taken care of. You said that? Yeah, I told him that. Guess what? Hallelujah. A few years later, they said he's looking for me. He gave his heart to Jesus. See, he had a praying aunt. He told me about his praying aunt. He didn't like her too well, but he better be thankful. He's thankful for her now. She kept him alive. She did. He had some close calls with death. Hallelujah. And your prayers will help keep your relatives alive. I know my own brother. I believe God answered my prayers. He was trying to run from the law and he was going over 100 miles an hour and crashed, went through the windshield, landed on the ground. And the law had caught up with him and he's laying on the ground and he says, well, sir, we'd like you to, he says, he's still awake, still alive, still breathing. He says, well, could we go by the hospital first? Thank you, Jesus. How many know sometimes the enemy comes and they may start to, and he may try to destroy the flesh, but their spirit's going to be saved in the end. God's going to bring him into the fullness of the kingdom of God. And he's coming along. Hallelujah. He's come out now. Oh, he's out of jail. And I believe God's working on him big time. Praise the Lord. All right, where are we at? We're talking about submitting to those that are in authority. Not just to the Lord, but also to those that God places us under. You know, sometimes when we're in a particular position in the church, you know, I see people sometimes, you know, they'll go to, you know, if I visit another church, I'm not in charge, you know. You know, I've ushered a lot of different churches, and sometimes people don't want to do what the usher asked, you know. That's all right. He's just a little stubborn. You know, he's just kind of stubborn. He likes to do his own thing. I wonder what God thinks about stubbornness, rebellion. I'm not saying he won't help you get rid of it. He will. But we have to humble ourselves sometime. Let's see. I think there's a scripture here in 1 Samuel 9. 1 Samuel 15. I got the wrong chapter. All right. Oh, here it is. Verse 23. It says, "For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." Talking about Saul, it said, "Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord." Talking about rejecting the word of God. "He's also rejected thee from being king." You know, we think it's, you know, I'm not saying it's a big thing, you know. If somebody wants to sit in my seat, it's fine with me, it really is. You know, but sometimes if we practice rebellion, then when it comes to God, we don't take His word seriously. You know, I always try to say, well, who's in, you know, who's ever in charge here? It's not, you know, I'm not saying that we don't have people, you know, but when we submit ourselves to the Lord, then we'll be willing to honor other people. And I understand, I'm not talking about somebody that's a baby Christian and came in and they just sat in a reserve seat. And, you know, it's not about just sitting in a reserve seat. It's not about that, but it's a hard attitude, see. Sometimes people want to do things just because they don't want to be told what to do. Well, I don't want to be told what to do. Well, sometimes you have to be told what to do. How many times your boss tells you what to do, right? Well, that's different. He pays me. But it's a hard attitude to him. And it's an honoring of those that are in the body of Christ with you. I mean, I should honor the gifts, right? I mean, if somebody's up worshiping, then I should enter in. Honor God and honor them by entering in with them into worship. It's good. But see, witchcraft, you know, we wouldn't say, it says rebellion is a sin of witchcraft and stubbornness is an idolatry. You know, you wouldn't be like, well, he's just got a little bit of, you know, he's just a little rebellious, you know. So if I came up here and I just said, well, I'm just going to do a little witchcraft here right now, you know, just, you know, let me get my pentagram drawn here. People would be like, well, it's just a little. Just a little. I don't think that'd go over too well, would it? Amen. Amen. We're not submitted to the enemy. We're submitted to God. We're not submitted to the flesh. We're submitted to Him. Hallelujah. That is one of the works of the flesh, you know. A little witchcraft in there, you know. Trying to get their own say. Anyway, thought I'd bring that out. Hallelujah. It always goes over good, I know, when we talk about things like that. And that's okay. I think we need to think about it, though, you know, because sometimes I wonder in my own life, I said, Lord, am I a little rebellious sometimes? Father, help me. Please help me. I don't want to have stubbornness and idolatry in my life. He's just a little stubborn. He just has a little idolatry in their life. Idolatry? Well, yeah, well, maybe that's just saying I'm better than, you know, I'm better than what they are and someone else in the body, than their gift. I've got more than you. See, the more we learn, the more we should realize we don't know. You know, there's a lot in this Bible that I probably don't know. And I know there is. But I'm not going to stop sitting at the Master's feet. Amen? How many's going to stay at His feet? So when we humble ourselves, we draw near to Him. He's going to draw near to us. And we can submit one to another. We can submit to those in authority over us. When it comes to governments, we can at least respect that office, you know. We don't have to agree with everything going on, but, you know, we do have a position to say that is the President of the United States, whether we like it or not. You know, I don't agree with every policy, but I do pray. My prayers are going to make an effect. But if I allow myself to be rebellious and stubborn, you know, the Bible says He resists the proud. Right in that same passage, it says, submit to God, resist the devil, flee from you. But He says, God gives more grace to the humble, but He resists the proud. I don't want to be resisted by God. Amen? Hallelujah. How many want God to be on our side? I want to stay. One thing I did learn, stay on God's side. You know, if I do anything, I want to stay on His side. I mean, Moses had that problem, right? We mentioned that the last time. And they didn't get on Moses' side, there was a problem. Moses said, whose side are you on? You're on God's side, or you're going to stay on that side? You're going to go with me or not? Yes or no? No, Jesus said that, didn't He, to His disciples? You know, they were there and a bunch of them left. He said, you're going to leave me too? Are you going to run away from me? You know, they could have. They didn't. He said, Lord, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? We've got to come to Him. You know, some of them went with Moses and some of them didn't. Those that didn't go with Moses, all he remembers what happened. There was a little shaking that went on, amen? The earth shook so much it opened up, swallowed them up. That was it. Their time of serving God was over. Because I'm not going to put up with rebellion. I'm not going to put up with, you know, idolatry. A little bit of, you know, stubbornness, which is idolatry. You know, 1 John, I think it's the last verse. He says, brethren, keep yourselves from idols. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. We want to stay submitted to the Lord. We want to stay sold out to Him. Amen. And we're seeing some ways that we can do that. We can mature in those things as we submit to Him, but also submit to those in authority over us and learn that. Say, Lord, there's people. See, if you can't submit to a person, how are you going to submit to God? The Bible says, children, what? Obey your parents. But there's also the safeguard. Fathers, don't exasperate your children. In other words, you know, don't be so harsh on them that they hate you. You know, we're supposed to love our family, but we also have that place of authority. See, that father has authority in that home, but when he goes to work, his boss has that authority. So there's a constant giving way, amen, yielding to what's the authority that God placed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. How are we going to spend a little bit more time at His feet? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I think that's it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Let's go to that one last scripture here that we read in Colossians. remembering to do everything. Colossians 3. Let's just go to Colossians 3 for a second. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And right after that, he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Then it said, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, or worker, obey in all things your boss, according to the flesh. Not with eye service, when their eyes looking at you, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that the Lord you shall that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. For he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there's no respect of persons. And then he talks about masters, give unto your servants. So there's rules for those that are in authority. If you're somebody that's a boss or a master, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. He says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying always for us, that God would open unto us the door of utterance, hallelujah, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which also I'm in bonds. But he's saying here, he's talking a little bit about being, you know, submitted to those. Wives, submit to your husbands. Whatever you do, do unto the Lord. Give Him the glory. Give Him thanksgiving. Do it with a thankful heart. Have a singleness of heart, fearing God. Now, how many see that sometimes, you know, they're all of a sudden the boss walks in, everybody's suddenly busy. You know, the boss walks out, where are they at? Oh, they're in the break room, you know. You know, they're somewhere else. If that's you, that's not right. You're supposed to give your boss an honest day's work. Amen. And be faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, and you receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. See, the Lord sees everything. He sees our labors of love. He sees it all. And He honors us for it. Amen. Let's seek the Lord this week, and let's commit ourselves to prayer and to the Word of God, amen, to worship, fasting, whatever it is He is drawing you into, draw near to Him. We have such great opportunity to know Him, amen, and to walk with Him and to be His sons and daughters, you know, and to become really His servants or really His co-laborers. Working with Him in the kingdom. Hallelujah. How many know when you work with God, things go a lot better, amen? And He works with us, whatever we do. Let's do it heartily unto the Lord. Father, we just thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your truth that we can draw near to You and You draw near to us. We can submit ourselves to You, Father, to those that are in authority that You place over us, Father, and we can receive the reward of You, Father, of the inheritance that we've been given from You, Father. We thank You for that. Father, we don't want to be those that have a heart that's half-hearted, but we want to be wholehearted to You, Father. We want to love You purely, Father, from a pure heart, Father, with a heart that's unfeigned, Father, Lord, that's not insincere, but with sincerity, Father. Lord, we want to know You, Father. Draw us, Holy Spirit. Let Your grace come upon us. We humble ourselves before You, Lord. We say, Father, You are Lord. You are Master. You are King. We draw near to You, Father. We resist the enemy, Lord, and he flees from us. We allow You to help us, Father, as we purify. Our hearts become purely sold out to you, Lord. You purify our hearts, Lord, and our hands. And we allow ourselves to be totally saturated in your presence and with your glory. Change us, Father, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Father, as we leave this place tonight, keep us in remembrance, Father, that you see all the things we do, and that we'll do it with all of our heart to please you. In Jesus' name, amen.